welcome to another episode. Excuse me, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Writer's Bookshelf, presented by me, yes, Mr. David Driver, and brought to you by the Gingerlicious Company. Once again, it's the usual opening. Thank you to each and every one of you who are listening, and hello Australia, hello USA, Virginia, and England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and wherever you may be. It's the first episode, if you like. We're into April, and yes, I seem to have a little bit of another theme, as in the rain, and I've had a little bit of a few days holiday over the Easter weekend, if you like. It's probably, well, it's going to be a Tuesday when the new episodes go up, and you'll have all been celebrating Good Friday, Easter Monday, and Easter Sunday, and all the however you're going to celebrate it. That's entirely up to you. And you always say April showers, and over here in sunny Sils, then we've had a little bit of rain, and I have to say, I'm going to share another short story with you on this episode, but I'll talk poetry first. I've been over into the poet's pasture. You've just got to brave the storm, and for those that know me a little bit better, if you connect with me via Facebook, or type into Facebook The Poet's Pasture, or just Google it, it's over in Silsden Park, a lovely little place with trees, bushes, benches and all that sort of thing to allow you lovely people to inspire, create and imagine, which is all good stuff that you and I both need. And I've had a bench in there over in the back at our house for quite a while, and the good Mrs. Driver wants it out of the way, and some tree stumps and stuff. So some good things coming from the Poet's Pasture, and it's some more poetry and various stories and that sort of thing. So bear with me on that one. And the point is, yes, yesterday, it's Easter Monday. It's Easter Monday now. You're listening to this on a Tuesday, but it's Easter Monday. I've come down to the studio. So on the Sunday, it held out and I got some work done. I'm glad I did. I've been over to the Poet's Pasture this morning. It was like the Battle of the Somme. I was determined to dig out for the bench. And I've done it. But by golly goodness, it took a while. It was like digging just a quagmire, and I've got the tree stumps, just need to concrete them in tomorrow. Had a quick bath, quick sort of freshen up, if you like, and I'm down here recording, and I'm laughing because it started raining. I'm only 2-3 minutes up the road, about a 3-minute walk, and I started to walk down feeling a little bit fresher, and it starts to rain. So wherever you are, goodness me, let me know what the weather is like. So the story that I'm going to share, it's from my collection of short stories called Ripskillian Tales, and this one is one of the longer ones. It's called The Girl with No Shoes. It was penned a number of years ago, and I did like writing it. I haven't read it for a while, and what I'm finding at the moment is, I think as a writer, poet, that sort of thing, I think anyone who is weaving their words, you tend to revisit things. You start on a journey. It could be poetry, a novel, short story, a play, and you always write it to the best of your ability at the time. And for those listening in, and again, you know, pay a little bit more, interact a little bit more on social media. We've got the Cockwinkles out there, which is always a radio play, and The Purple Orchid of Ulysses Goyle has been adapted from a short story into a radio play, and there's talk of that going on stage. More of that to come later. And I'm always thinking, how can you sort of adapt things? It is sort of inspired, I think, by it's got a dark twist to it. I'll let you make your own decisions. It's set in the 80s. I'm not saying it's based on me. I just find it came a little bit easy simply because it's based on various things. Now, when I say The Girl With No Shoes, going back into the 80s, I grew up in Yorkshire. I still live in Yorkshire, West Yorkshire. Grew up in a place called Keighley and now live in Silsden, which is about 3-4 miles away. Now, The Girl With No Shoes, and I'm not making this up, it is actually inspired. The only part that's, well, one of the elements when I say The Girl With No Shoes, I did actually see, going into the early 2000s is somewhere, I can't remember exactly, but just I would say round about early 2000s, I was driving into Keighley, and I saw this girl, or young lady, should I say, and I just saw her walking along. And actually, if anyone knows Keighley, it was past the Keighley, you go on Keighley Road, past Keighley Cinema, Keighley Picture House, and it goes on to North Street, and just round about where the cinema is, the picture house, there was actually a girl with no shoes, just walking along a bit. I mean, if you want to say, yeah, she did look a little bit sort of gothic, the long hair, and you know, jeans, t-shirt, that sort of thing. So that's where the title comes from, and a little bit of the inspiration. And it's I liked growing up. Obviously, I did grow up in the 80s. So let's see what you think of this one. It's called The Girl with No Shoes. Okay, so it starts off the north of England, 1983, summer, July. Finally, warm weather and blue skies fill the days right through until late evenings. No more school until September, and when Dave returned, it would be his O-level year. Ah, well, never mind. It was holiday time. Exams and worry can wait. I've got more important things on my mind. These thoughts slowly drifted through the 15-year-old's mind, and he smiled. What time will you be back? I don't know, Mum. About 5:30. I'll catch the 5 past bus. Well, make sure you do. Me and your father are going out tonight, and you're babysitting. Dave sighed. Don't sigh. It's your turn. And before you ask, your sister isn't going to stay at Grandma's. What about him? Him? You mean Mark, your brother? Well, Mark is going out with his friends for a meal, and don't you pull that face. I'm not. Stop it. Dave got that look. That look that said, enough or things are about to get a lot worse. I'm sorry. Dave's mum pursed her lips and continued. Mark is 18 now. He's allowed to go out for a meal or to the pub. There was an uneasy short pause. He starts university in September and won't be with some of his friends, so they're all making the most of the holidays together. Manchester University. That's right. Bye, Mark. Bedroom to myself. Another thought came as his mother continued to lecture. You could go to university. You're quite capable of getting the results, David. Anyway, it'll do you good to spend some time with your sister. You spent the last couple of Saturdays sleeping at Craig's house. Dave had turned off to the words. He stood, appeared to listen, and occasionally nodded his head. He was already somewhere else. The young man, with a rare talent for writing and artwork, had put himself within one of his fictitious worlds. Dave was now standing face to face with a demon. They circled each other, laughed, and commenced battle. The blue Capri 2.8 injection pulled up outside. Dave's mum heard the engine and the horn sounded. Your dad's here, and take care. See you later. See you later, Mum. Dave's dad was dropping him off in town. He'd had to nip into the office to collect some plans he'd left there yesterday. Elizabeth, Dave's sister, had gone with him, and she was going to ballet. ballet lessons were always on Saturday mornings at 11. If their dad wasn't at work, he would have taken Elizabeth to ballet, and they had lunch together as a treat. Architects, building work, ballet, it all seemed boring to Dave. A little fantasy art or Iron Maiden was his cup of tea. He didn't want to study building design and listen to new romantic music like his brother. And as for ballet, well, it just wasn't him. Approaching the roundabout, Led Zeppelin, Oh Lot of Love, started to play. Dave's dad turned up the volume. Now this is proper music, a classic. The middle child said nothing and didn't dispute. Temporary roadworks had halted the flow of traffic, so he got to listen to the whole track. Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills followed. This was a Saturday morning double rock track played by the local DJ. After that, sounds reverted back to the usual pop tunes and phoning quizzes. By 12, it was news, followed by football, chat and commentary on local matches. Boring again. The Capri started to move. Dave and his sister both sat in the back, as files and boxes filled the passenger footwell. People looked and admired the gleaming machine, complete with alloys. The car was only 2 weeks old. The dad's building company had gone from strength to strength over the last 18 months. And so he had given himself a treat from all the long hours he had worked. Dave looked out of the window. Some people he recognised. Others were unfamiliar. A mixture of young and old all made their way into town. Just pull over outside the cinema, Dad. I'll jump out there. Are you sure? Yeah, that's fine. I'll walk. It's not far. All right, then. The volume was turned down and Dave could hear the indicator. His dad was still speaking, but he'd just been distracted. Dave Green was completely lost within himself. He watched her move, watched her walk along the pavement. Who was she? He'd never seen her before, but Dave Green was instantly in love. Tight jeans showed off a nice behind, and on top she wore an Ace Frehley t-shirt. Dave liked the American rock band and wondered if she was actually from the Big Apple. But the strangest thing of all was that she wore no shoes. She was walking barefoot. Barefoot, Dave thought. Strange, but sexy. As the car came to a halt, the young, infatuated man almost leapt out. Oh, bye, yeah, see you later. He quickly spoke and shut the door. She had passed and he hadn't got a proper look at her face. Other people looked back as they passed in the opposite direction to glance at her bare feet. But Dave just started to follow, taking in the rear view and long, dark hair. Suddenly stopping, she twirled round, glanced at him, smiled, then continued to walk. Dave felt himself blush. He'd always blush when girls were around. It wasn't as if he didn't like them or got tongue-tied. It just seemed to happen without any warning. Hi, Dave, the voice spoke, getting no reply. Ignore me, Dave. Bye. Again, words came. Dave suddenly snapped out of his trance and spun round and yelled. Oh, sorry, Claire. I was miles away. Everything okay? Yeah, fine. See you Monday. Claire Haynes was just a plain-looking girl who lived with her grandma. She often came into town on Saturday mornings to fetch the shopping. Both were in the same chemistry and physics classes, which Claire thoroughly enjoyed. Crossing the road, Dave took the back route past the bingo hall, which brought him to the front of the local college. Passing the main steps, he almost stopped in his tracks and backpedaled. With his heart thumping and blushing again, Dave was almost along her, alongside the young woman he had been following. Sitting three steps up, with her head tilted back slightly, she smiled and he couldn't break eye contact. Hi. She wasn't American. It looks like it should be another nice day. Time seemed to stop for Dave. Yeah, should be. Yeah. Off to meet mates? Yeah, we always meet on Saturdays. We have a look around town and look at the record shops and stuff, and sometimes we get a video and then watch it at Craig's. Have you seen Return of the Jedi yet? Yeah, we've seen them all. Really good films. She nodded, smiling again. What was happening? She must be 17, 18, and Dave was having a conversation with her as if they had known each other for years. She stretched, moving her head from side to side. As she did so, part of her midriff showed, and Dave felt a twinge of excitement. The young woman, whose name he did not know, ruffled her hair, then jumped to her feet. Well, I've got to go. Or me too. I'll be late for my mates. Dave replied without blushing. Okay, maybe I'll see you later. Yeah, bye then. Bye. Dave started to move, but she hadn't finished. What did you say your name was? My name, yeah. Oh, it's Dave. It's Dave Green. I'm Louise. Louise Meadows. Most people call me Lou. Bye then, Lou. Bye, Dave. A quick glance, and they both went their separate ways. Dave was on a total high. Was he on another planet, or in one of his fantasy worlds? He'd just been talking to the sexiest woman he'd ever met, and she seemed to like him. Wait until Craig Westfield heard about this, Dave thought. A Coke, please. Large. He waited until asked what size he wanted before finishing his sentence. And a cheeseburger. Right, love, about 5 minutes. I'll bring it over. Dave nodded and went to join his mates. They'd been laughing and pulling faces while he'd queued, and the last mate to arrive had returned the favour. Come on, Green, where have you been? Greeny, how's it going? Oh, all right, lads. They all greeted each other in the usual manner, laughing, joking and questioning each other's sexuality. The Olympic Cafe was busy, as it always was on Saturday at lunch. All the red leather seats were taken. Plates, accompanied with cups, filled tables, and cigarette smoke filled the air. A few old regulars still attended, mostly in their late 50s or early 60s, but the main clientele was no older than 20. The shopping centre had recently been revamped and now boasted a new roof, making it all undercover. The cafe front looked out onto the bus station. People jumped off the single and double deckers, walked past the long glass side, which sat opposite the gas showroom, peered in, and then cursed as not being able to get a table. Dave kept joining the conversation as he ate his burger. Craig had finished his meal and now smoked an Embassy Number One, while Rick and Pete both tried to read the same Kerrang Rock magazine. Martin had taken to rolling his own tobacco and started a second conversation about what everyone's favourite heavy metal track was. Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast figured strongly, and the band had also charted back in April with The Flight of Icarus. Everyone agreed that Joan Jett was a goddess and laughed at the fact that Mike Reed had said on air that a song wouldn't do much. He's a right knob. A right knobhead. Yeah, you're right, Pete. And what does he know about music? Nah, not a lot, Craig. Tommy Vance should replace him. Yeah, good idea, Martin. I agree, Rick. Dave took a drink and continued. I like Creatures of the Night by Kiss. As Dave spoke, the conversation continued, but he was lost in his own thoughts. He thought about his meeting with Lou and the T-shirt she was wearing, which had prompted his last statement. They're not a band for an American band. Well, what difference does that make, Pete? Craig questioned him, knowing full well that his friend was very loyal to British bands and always looked for weaknesses in artists from other countries. Well, they're massive in America. Maybe we could start wearing makeup. Nice one, Rick. Just like Twisted Sister. Martin laughed as he spoke. Ah, Pete. Another band from America. Go on, pick fault. Pick fault, Pete. Craig stood and ruffled his friend's hair. Get off, you lunatic. You're the lunatic, Pete. Come on, let's go. Marty stood and the rest followed. Sharing a joke, all five left. Three or more conversations were going on at the same time as they passed the gas showroom and made their way to the market. Dave hadn't mentioned Luke to anyone. The time wasn't right, so he decided to wait. They were all joking, out to buy records, badges and t-shirts. Various girls from school would come into the day, and so a little ribbing would come along regarding who fancied who. Nope. His mind was made up. As the day unfolded, there'd be a chance to talk to Craig alone. Craig was the oldest of the circle and the most experienced with girls. Although the two didn't always see eye to eye, they both had a mutual respect for each other. "Hi, Craig. Ready for the Saturday disco next week?" Craig half smiled and nodded as Alice and Blake spoke and the other girls just stood and giggled. But before he could reply with words, she questioned him again. "What do you think of Mr. Spencer, the new English teacher?" "Seems okay. He only started 5 weeks before the end of term, so it's hard to tell." The two were deep in conversation, but Alison was expecting more than Craig. Martin shared a joke with Fiona. Their relationship seemed to be on and off frequently. Rick wandered off with Nicola and Pete into Woolworths, and Dave just stood, froze and stared. Oh no, he thought. But then he felt happy, a little giddy and quite excited. Lou walked slowly and effortlessly towards them. She looked fantastic, lithe and seductive, but then again, warm and friendly. Again, people stared at the lack of footwear. Dave just became lost within himself. She was gorgeous. Forget Joan Jett. Forget Sarah Bell from the sixth form. And never mind Miss Crossley, his biology teacher. Lou beat them all. "Hi, Dave." Seconds passed and Dave blushed slightly. "Hi, Lou," he replied nervously. Nervous? Well, why should he be nervous? And then he blushed again. Dave pushed these thoughts away, took a deep breath and moved closer. Standing as tall as he could, the young man in love spoke again. What's in the bag?" This seemed like a good casual line to start with. Lou smiled. "New knickers and a bra." Again, time seemed to almost stand still. Her hand reached inside and his face flushed a lovely red. The black garments came into view only for a second, then disappeared. "I've got to go, Dave. There's a bus in 10 minutes. I'll see you later." She smiled. "Take care." As these last two words were said, her arms reached up and hands touched. It was only a light touch, hardly anything, lasting a second at the most. But they touched. What a freak. Yeah, who was that, Dave? Can't she afford any shoes? Two other girls spoke, mocking Lou. Then Craig piped up. "Yeah, Greenie, who's that? Your new girlfriend?" People laughed as he continued. "Mind you, she looked all right. Might try my luck." "Hey," Alison elbowed him. "I don't think so, Craig. She wouldn't look at you twice. What's she seen you?" These words entered Dave's mind, and he became defensive. He suddenly felt strange. For the first time in his life, he didn't want to be with his friends. He wanted to be alone with Lou. The rest of the afternoon passed quickly and with less conversation about Lou than Dave had expected. The girls spoke among themselves, giggling, sometimes casting glances at him. Craig, Martin and the rest did the usual thing. They asked about the lack of shoes, asked about her age and also asked if he'd done it. Dave put on a brave face and joked along. Space Invaders soon ate up all the 10-pence pieces and pockets just housed bus fares. Craig and Dave walked to the bus station together, sharing an embassy number one. "Are your mum and dad going out tonight?" "No, they went away this morning," Craig replied. "They've gone to York to stay in the caravan. They'll be back Sunday evening. I've got to babysit." "Well, that's what big brothers are for." Craig patted him on the back as he spoke. "Yeah, I suppose so. Don't look so sad, Greenie. We're off to Leeds on Monday. might even see your new mate. Dave half smiled and thought about how lucky Craig was. No brothers or sisters and parents who left him alone whilst they went away. He always seemed to have money in his pockets, did well at school, and had no problem chatting up girls. I wonder if he could chat up Lou. Probably. As the bus slowly moved through the traffic, Dave asked himself questions about Craig. Then he moved on to Martin and the rest. After two stops, his thought moved on to how he would spend the night, and then slowly progressed to Monday and Leeds. Fish fingers, chips and beans went down well. His sister was tired and in bed by 6:30. Put there by Mrs. Green. Dave suffered a half-hour lecture on how he mustn't answer the door to strangers, how he had to listen out for his sister not to spend hours on the phone, and if he went to bed before they got back, he must turn off the lights and lock the door. The white Mark II Escort pulled up outside. Mark came down the stairs, shouted bye to everyone and left. Not before his dad patted him on the back, accompanied with the words, "Have a good night, son." Their mother added a kiss and said, "Take care, love. We'll see you in the morning." Oh, wasn't Mark wonderful? Yes, he was in the eye of Dave's family. And once again, Dave discussed life, keeping the questions and answers to himself. "Another cup of tea would be lovely, Lou. Coming right up, Grandma. And a Kit Kat. I've been shopping." "Oh, lovely." Lou smiled as she spoke from the kitchen. The kettle had boiled and the Kit Kats were already out. As the tape recorder clicked off, she quickly pressed eject, reversed the tape and pressed play. Paul Stanley's vocals purred and her latest by, "Kiss Alive 2, filled the room. "Thank you, my sweetheart. I do like a nice drink of tea. Madge is coming round on Monday. We're having an afternoon of bridge. Have you?" "Yes, Grandma. There's plenty of gin in the winning..." "And yes, Grandma, there's plenty of gin and the winning bottle of champagne is cooling in the fridge." "I didn't know. I don't know what I'd do without you." The lady in her 80s smiled and continued, "You're a good girl, just like your mother. She'd be proud of you. Very proud of you, Lou. And you look just like her." Tears welled as she took in a deep breath. "I love you, Grandma." "Oh, don't get yourself upset. Come on now. Leave me alone. I'll be asleep in an hour." Lou relaxed, soaking in the bath while absorbing Lord of the Rings. AC/DC ruled the airwaves until lukewarm water and wrinkled skin told her it was time to get out. The match of the day theme tune caused her to turn off the telly. Football was not at the top of her list. Tea and toast went down well, along with three more chapters. And Frodo wasn't on the white elf horse, and Frodo was riding away to escape the Black Riders. Wasn't Lord of the Rings fantastic, she thought. Falling asleep within the comforts of the armchair, she awoke, smiled, and found her way to the bedroom. Sleep consumed her again, along with dreams, and Lou didn't awake until sunlight filtered into the room. Dave got to bed about 11. His parents weren't late back. After convincing them that his little sister hadn't stirred once and telling them he taped and watched Knight Rider, he finally escaped. Sunday morning came, bringing more sunshine. Dad made bacon sandwiches, which everyone enjoyed. Dave decided to take a walk, buy a magazine from the newsagents and enjoy a quick cig. Returning about an hour later, the rest of the family had decided to visit Grandma, then return for a lazy day. The youngest son decided to decline the offer and went upstairs to listen to music. After two albums, a cheese sandwich and several drinks, the phone rang. David, phone call for you, it's Craig. Come in, Mum. Thundering down the stairs, he leapt the last three in one. His dad protested, but words were only spoken by the mother. Calm down, love. Shh, quiet now. Craig's on the phone. Craig? There was a pause and he continued. Yeah, fine. Another pause. Play music. I haven't done much today. Dave nodded several times and smiled. Of course, yeah, of course I'm going to Leeds. About 11, no problem. Yeah, I'll see you later. How's Craig, love? Dave's mother spoke inquiring. He's fine. He's a nice boy. Dave just nodded. How's he doing at school, David? Do you think he'll go to university? Probably, yeah. Both questions were answered with one single word. Yeah, we're going to Leeds tomorrow, Mum. With Craig? Yeah, and a few others. Martin, Pete, the usual lot. At what time will he be back? About 6, but Craig wants me to stay at his house. There was a slight pause and Dave took in a breath, expecting the worst. Then his mother spoke. Well, I suppose that's okay. When you get to Craig's ring, though. Okay, Mum. That's all right, isn't it, love? This was directed at her husband, who quickly replied, yes, fine. Make sure you phone, though, son. Sunday afternoon went just like any other. Nothing much happening, nothing much worth watching on television, and nobody really wanted to do much. Dad messed about with the car for about half an hour, then came inside to read the newspaper. Mum played with her daughter and prepared food in the kitchen. Mark returned to a hero's welcome and sat talking with his dad in the lounge. Dave messed about drawing and listening to music. We seem to have a new postman, Lou. I wonder what happened to the old one. I don't know, Gran. The post seemed to come earlier, though. Yes, you're right, love. The two made polite conversation whilst eating Sunday lunch, opening dining room windows, letting a little air, and also gave a splendid view of the rear garden. Both liked the Victorian stone detached house, but little work had been done since they'd moved in 3 months ago. I'll be up early tomorrow, Gran. I'm going out for the day. Oh, that's fine, love. I'll bring you up breakfast before I go. You don't have to do that. You get yourself off, don't worry about me. No, it's no problem. I want to do it. Breakfast will be about 8. The old lady gave a warm, kind smile and continued with her meal. Lou poured a little more wine for each of them. He enjoyed his sip and then sliced some more chicken. Monday brought the warmest day so far. Dave was awake and couldn't get back to sleep. 6:30 in the morning and he was getting dressed. His dad stirred, came into the bedroom, looked and then headed for the bathroom. Are you going into work today, Dad? Of course I am, Dave. You don't get long holidays in the real world. The real world? All right, Dad. Mrs. Green stirred and soon all three went downstairs and have breakfast. Dave enjoyed his toast along with a mug of tea. Smiling, he thought about the day ahead. Leeds with his mates, then back to Craig's. His parents were going away again, so a small party had been arranged. Some of the girls were going. They wouldn't stay the night, but that didn't matter. Girls, music, maybe a few cans of beer, and Craig had acquired a copy of The Evil Dead on video. All these thoughts flooded Dave's mind, putting a huge smile on his face for some reason. Can you drop me off in town, Dad? In town at this time? It's a bit early, David. Mrs. Green looked concerned. Oh, it's not that early. I want to get some books from the library before anyone else gets their hands on them. Books? Mr. Green looked up. Yes, books. Books on drawing fantasy art. They told me last week I'd have them on the shelves this Saturday morning. If I leave it till later, someone else will pick them up and then I'll have to wait weeks. His mum smiled and Dave continued. She knew how much Dave liked his artwork. The library opens at 9, so I want to be the first one in. What will you do till 9? It'll only be just after 8 when I drop you off. I'll get a drink at the Olympic Cafe. His dad nodded whilst his mother just half smiled. Breakfast was soon finished and the two were in the car. Pulling over just before the traffic lights, Dave jumped out. The journey didn't take long and he was soon seated in his favourite cafe. Dave quite liked the idea of just sitting and relaxing whilst drinking a large mug of tea. Manual workers were sparse as most had quickly slurped drinks and left. Rushing to their destinations, they departed with an array of newspapers open at the racing pages, which were tucked into the backside pockets of their jeans. A few people in suits remained. They obviously didn't start until 9 and squeezed in a second coffee. The remainder were made up of the elderly and unemployed. These two groups always seemed to be present at this time, and Dave could never understand why. If they were unemployed or old, he'd stay in bed and relax. "Hi, Dave." As the words flowed, a strange sensation engulfed him. Recognising the voice, he couldn't believe his ears. Turning to look, his eyes did not lie. It was Lou. "Mind if I join you?" "No, not at all." Dave was slightly embarrassed. There she stood, right at his side. Smiling, she sat only inches from him. He could nearly feel her body against his. Looking down, he noticed she wasn't wearing anything on her feet and her toenails were painted purple. She wore a matching purple vest, which was covered with a denim jacket. "Doing anything good today?" "We're going to Leeds." "Leeds?" Lou took a long drink of cool, fresh milk and continued. "I like Leeds. Lots of good shops." "You've been then?" "Yeah, loads of times." "What time are you going?" "About 11. A few of us are meeting up." Lou nodded whilst drinking. Dave continued. I've got to call to the library first." "Can I come?" "But to Leeds?" "No, to the library." "Why would you like me to come to Leeds with you?" Well, it's..." "I'm only joking. I'm sure you don't want me to tag along when you're with your mates." "Oh, you can, it's no problem." "No," Lou laughed. "I've got things to do. I'll come to the library though." Dave was about to speak but got tongue-tied. "Calm down. Don't look so worried. I'm not laughing at you. You just get all nervous and it makes me laugh." She gently touched his hand. "Don't worry. I don't bite, Dave." He didn't know what to do. "Come on, let's go." Lou stood, beckoned with a finger and repeated her words. "Come on." As the two walked side by side, others cast glances. Crossing the road, the library came into view and the steps soon climbed. "I love libraries," Lou spoke as she entered. Dave agreed. "So what are we looking for?" "Follow me," Dave replied. He knew the way off by heart and the books were soon found. "Brilliant," Dave spoke with excitement. "First one to get it. Fantasy art." Dave looked up as Lou spoke and became slightly embarrassed, and she removed her jacket to reveal a curvaceous cleavage and midriff. He didn't think she'd done it on purpose. She was just confident, a friendly type, and he quite liked it. "Yes, I like to draw, you know, elves, dragons, that sort of thing." "Oh, I'm no good at that sort of stuff. I struggle to draw stick man." Both shared a laugh and made their way to the desk to get the book stamped. When they exited and reached the stairs' bottom, Lou said a very strange and forward thing. "Would you like to come home with me, Dave?" He was completely stunned, speechless, and unable to think straight. About 6 or 7 seconds, Dave managed to reply. Come on with you, but only for half an hour. I've got to take some things back for my gran. I'm meeting Craig at 11. The bus only takes 10 minutes each way. It's only 9:20 now, so I've got plenty of time to spare." Smiling, Lou continued. "My gran doesn't get to meet many people. She'd be pleased to see you. Then we could play a little music." "Oh, okay then, fine." "Good, come on. The bus leaves in about 3 minutes." Running to the stop they'd just made, it leapt on and soon sat side by side. So where do you live?" "Highmore Lane." Highmore Lane. Hmm. Lou nodded. Not in what? In one of those old detached houses. Why? Well, what's wrong with them? Nothing at all. I've always wanted to see inside one of them and hoped you didn't live in one of the new houses. The new houses? No one seems to like them. Lou laughed. No, it was better before they were built, when the old farmhouse still stood. And now it's been knocked down by a developer and lots of money has been made. Yeah, something like that. Dave coughed, then continued. I hope they don't knock down the detached houses. We've been driving past them since I was about 5. I hope they don't knock them down either, not whilst I'm living there. Lou started to laugh and managed another line. I have to come and live with you, Dave. I'd have to come and live with you, Dave. Both laughed together. Lou suddenly jumped up and said it was their stop, and the pair jumped off. Dave absorbed the whole scene. After waiting 10 years, he was finally going to get inside one of the houses he had endlessly imagined the interior of. Lou moved 2 steps ahead, produced a key and opened the large door with stained glass. Wasting no time, he stepped inside and the grand staircase, complete with winding banister, welcomed him. The colour scheme was just right, and pictures adorned the walls. Looking down, he noticed his feet stood on a tiled floor. Various doors were closed to rooms he longed to explore, and even the aroma of the dwelling left him with a thirst for more. Coke, milk, water, packet of crisps. There was a short pause, then she spoke again. Hello? Hello? Earth calling Dave? Coke's fine, thanks. Well, come into the kitchen then. Dave stood and watched. Lou opened and closed the fridge door, collecting 2 cans. Opening a cupboard door, a large packet of assorted crisps appeared. Help yourself. I'll have to nip upstairs and see my gran. Okay, fine. The sound of footsteps ascending filled his ears. Muffled conversations came, followed by his footsteps descending. Dave couldn't really believe what was happening to him, and for a moment wished he wasn't going to Leeds, but could stay here with Lou for the rest of the day. She's fine. Says she'd love to meet you before we go. Before we go? Yes, go, remember, in about 30 minutes. Why? Would you rather stay here? As these words were spoken, she smiled and beckoned him to follow. Was she really asking him to stay? Or was she just fooling around? He just didn't know and followed her into the living room. Sit down. Lou spoke and leapt over the arm of the chair and landed with a thump on her bum. Dave just quietly sat on the sofa. Lou said nothing but carefully observed her guest, trying not to smile. What? Dave became embarrassed. Nothing. Just wondered what you were thinking. What do you want to listen to? Anything. You choose. How about little Kiss at Creatures of the Night? Fine. Oh, it's upstairs. Come on, Dave. You can help me get it. She leapt up and dragged Dave off the sofa. Come on. Both went upstairs and soon stood in her bedroom. It was large with various posters adorning the walls. A dresser, complete with mirrors, stood by the far wall, and a wardrobe adjacent to the door sat with its doors open. The bed was made, and purple sheets matched the pillow. On the floor, a uniformed line of vinyl awaited selection to be played on the machine, which stood only a few feet away. Here it is. Dave just nodded. We might as well play it here, Lou spoke. Removed it from its sleeve, and soon the needle touched. After a slight crackle, Paul Stanley's vocal filled the room, and Lou sang along with him. Rising to her feet, she drank a little Coke. Spilling down her top, she cursed and moved towards the wardrobe. Without thinking, Lou removed her vest top. Dave watched and became quite excited. Oh, She turned to face him and continued, "Sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to embarrass you." Blushing a bright red, redder than he'd ever gone before, his mouth became very dry and an uneasy sweat covered him. Don't blush, Dave. There's no need to." He couldn't take his eyes off her. They wondered, and she noticed. Moving slowly towards him, Lou stomped inches away. Her face nearly touched his, and soft lips caressed. Dave didn't respond at first, but Lou continued, indulging in a sensuous kiss. Dave responded. His hands were guided to her firm, supple breasts, and Lou enjoyed them being fondled. Several minutes passed, Dave's breathing relaxed, and he became fully absorbed in the feelings they shared. Lou let Dave's hands wander, letting him enjoy a soft, smooth, bare flesh. Removing another garment, she now stood naked from the waist up. Again, a little guidance was given, and Lou licked her own lips in satisfaction as the young man tasted her neck and nipples. Soft words began to flow along with small groans of pleasure. "I think you better stay here. Forget Leeds." She was in control, pushing him back towards the bed. She slowly undressed him and lay. As he lay on his back, it was as if Lou knew everything, answered questions before he could ask them, and knew what he was thinking. "Relax, Dave. She can't hear us. She struggles on her feet. I have to help her." Dave swallowed and controlled his breathing. "I know. It's your first time. I can tell." He tried to speak, and she just leant over and kissed him. "Everything will be fine." Her hand moved to his erection as she smiled whilst whispering in his ear. "See what I mean? I'll turn up the music if it makes you feel any better." Shaking his head, Dave spoke. "No, just leave it." He couldn't take his eyes off her. She knew it. Both now lay on the bed, naked. Touching, softly speaking, the two became at ease with each other. Soft, gentle hands caressed. She smiled, kissed him, and comforted him with gentle eyes. Excitement, relaxation, and happiness engulfed him. Lou gently mounted him, and soon he joined the rhythm. Moments later, they were laid side by side, listening to the music. When the music finished, silence followed, and the two enjoyed a cigarette. "Shall I put the B-side on?" "Yeah, why not?" Lou slowly moved and made her way to the record player. Dave watched, and as the music began, she danced to the rhythm. He beamed, then laughed. Lou just smiled and continued. "Fancy playing a game?" "A game? A game, Dave. What sort of game?" "Trust me, you'll enjoy it." "Okay, then." Smiling wickedly, she danced over to the wardrobe, producing four pieces of rope. Lou glided seductively back and laughed. "Are you ready to play?" Naked, a little nervous, and somewhat excited, Dave Green couldn't really believe what was happening. "What happens next?" I haven't done anything like this before." "Wait and see." Moving to the door, she put on her dressing gown, told him to wait a minute, and left the room. When she returned, he let out a sigh of relief. Again she danced, teasing him. What have you got behind your back?" "Wait and see." Inching closer, he asked again, and she gave him the same reply. "Oh, come on, Lou. Dave, what are you hiding?" "What am I hiding, eh? Do you really want to know?" "Yes, I want to know." "It's a knife. A knife to cut out your heart." Fear set in. Dave writhed, eyes widening. He began to scream. Rushing towards him, Lou stuck the blade at his throat. Shh, quiet. The words were sharp, menacing, and repeated. Quiet. He wanted to be sick, but then felt like crying. Eyes welled and his nose started to run. Words formed, but he couldn't speak. Pathetic. As she spoke, Lou bent down, picked up a sock and rammed it into Dave's mouth. Stop your whimpering. I can't bear it. Looking at his naked form, Lou gently sliced the blade across his midriff, left to right, then right to left, causing a little blood to flow. The taker of his virginity licked the two wounds and seemed to relish the taste. I bet your heart tastes delicious. I can't wait. She let out a deranged laugh, which was cut short when the door flew open. Don't you be having all the fun. What about your gran? Grandma, I was just about to call you. So this is the young man, is it? The grey-haired, half-blind woman hobbled towards the bed, smiling, baring a few teeth she possessed. A wrinkled hand brandished a knife. Milky eyes stared at Dave. Could almost taste her breath as a hairy chin virtually touched him. Quivering, a cold sweat gleamed on his body and the young man emptied his bladder in fright. Let me have a little taste. I'm hungry. The cold steel sliced across his ribs. Fingers helped themselves. Teeth chewed and the rasher of flesh was enjoyed. Dave screamed in agony and ropes cut, drawing blood. Delicious, Lou. Here, try some. Another slice was taken. Lou refused, so her gran wasted no time. So tender. You were right, my love. He does taste nice. Quiet, gran. The old lady looked offended. Lou looked serious. We've waited a long time for this moment. Before he dies, I'm going to tell him. All right, dear, go ahead. David Green. You even look a little like him. Charles Blackstock Green. You don't know who he is, do you? But Dave shook his head from side to side, hoping cooperation would bring life. You only use the name Green. Strange. The Blackstock is no longer used. I wonder why. Strange, dear. Yes, Grant added. He was about your age. Wealthy, good-looking. He desired me, wanted me and had me. He held me against my will. Bastard. Yes, bastard, the old lady cut Dave. You wanted me, Dave, and you had me. You dirty little bastard. And again the knife cut. Gran, Lou shouted. Defiling my granddaughter. She sliced the sole of his foot. Sorry, dear. I just want to eat him. I'm sorry. She half smiled as Lou glared. In fact, his father had me too. They all had their pleasure with me. Typical of men, taking things they want, hurting people. You look confused, Dave, and you've wet yourself. Oh, I'll have to wash those sheets now. You dirty, as the knife moved, Lou intervened. Gran, you see, it all goes back to Henry Blackstock Green. He's your ancestor. Without him, you wouldn't be here. Lou's eyes looked full of memories. He had money, land, power, everything. He married into more money and had a son, Charles. We were about the same age, but lived completely different lives. We lived in the woods in a small building my father built. They lived in a mansion with servants. Dave struggled a little. And closed his eyes. Lou looked as though she might cry. They hung my father from a tree, all because he tried to stop them. Such a long time ago now. Lou slowly cut his arm, and driving the blade deep, she whispered, "And now we've found you. Again she drove the blade inwards, and Dave let out a cry of pure suffering and eyes bulged due to the torture. 10 years it's taken, 10 years to find you. But we've learnt, educated ourselves in this strange time. When we first appeared, we barely recognised our surroundings. But a nice, elderly couple took us in, took pity on us. They thought we were simple gypsy folk and didn't ask questions. Dave's eyes flickered. He drifted in and out of consciousness, and Lou grabbed his hair tightly. Stay awake, Mr. David Green. Your hat will soon be mine. That nice elderly couple had never met us before, but they accepted us. They gave us clothes, food and shelter. I was educated through books, and Gran was able to rest and enjoy the nice summer days. Dave coughed weakly. He just lay on the bed staring. When they died, we inherited the house. We had wealth and a home, but we always had one thing on our minds, and we eventually found you. Found you here, right here in Yorkshire. Lou stood before him, smiling. She wielded the knife. The cold steel ran up and down his body. I can hear your heart beating. She laughed. Your bloodline will be wiped out. All of you. My sister. No. Not her. Ah. Your sister. I'm glad you mentioned her. We're not really interested in your mother. She'll probably commit suicide or end up in a mental hospital. Mark, and your father will suffer the same fate as you. Lou massaged her breasts. I'm sure they won't be able to resist. It runs in the family. Please, Lou, not my sister. Your sister is very special. You see, Dave, Henry Blackstock Green had a secret, and this secret has come to our attention. His great-grandfather married a witch. Witch blood is in your family. Unfortunately, all of the girls born didn't live beyond the age of 3. But your sister is the first in centuries to reach 9. And she will become very powerful. No, 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 no! Dave let out screams of disbelief. Both women laugh mockingly. When she joins us, the coven will be complete again. You fucking bitches! You fucking bitches! It's witches, you dirty little boy! Witches! The old lady cut his cheek and Dave screamed. See how you react violently. Like all men when you don't understand. In fact, it was your sister who led me to you. No. Yes, we searched and came across her quite by accident. But when tested, she passed and it just confirmed what we already knew. A very nice little girl. I like her. You've met her? Dave looked at the old lady. Oh, yes. No one can resist an old granny at ballet. They all love me to bits. Dave began to cry. Writhing and pulling as hard as he could, he tried to break the ropes. But a soft hand touched his chest and pushed him down. Climbing onto the bed, Lou sat across him. Her soft lips kissed him passionately and she relished the feeling. Suddenly, she stopped. Tossed her head back and spoke in a calm, seductive voice. I quite like you, Dave. But you have to die. You see, it was your sister who told me what you do on Saturdays, which cafe you like and so on. When she told me about your taste in music, I knew you wouldn't be able to resist. She even spoke to me on that first Saturday morning when you were in the car listening to the radio. Spoke to you, I don't understand. No, you'll never understand. She spoke in my head. A witch has many talents. Eyes met, smiling, she proceeded to lick his naked torso. Reaching his mouth, Lou kissed him. and for a moment he was lost, relaxed, engulfed in the seductive moment. "Goodbye, Dave." The words, warm and caring. Pain stabbed, slicing, cutting. Warm blood ran and his life ebbed away. The witches laughed, then relished in the tender organ. All eyes looked at Dave. Everyone looked at his face. Mrs. Green was comforted by her husband, and tears flowed, and he embraced her. "Where's Mark?" Words came in between tears, making us all a nice drink of tea. Mrs. Green looked at her son. Mrs. Green looked at her son's face again. He stared back, and Sue Lawley continued with a broadcast about the schoolboy who hadn't been seen in 6 days. "Where's my baby? What, Lizzie? Elizabeth?" The little innocent girl came running in and cuddled into her mother's arms. "Don't worry, Mummy. I'm here now." Mrs. Green broke down and couldn't reply. All three shared a moment on the sofa, and Mr. Green turned off the telly. Mark entered and joined them, along with a tray of drinks. "The university called," Mark spoke. "I don't have to start on the 18th. They're ringing back tomorrow." His dad nodded. "Okay, son, thanks. I'll speak to you later, Dad, when Mum's asleep." Again, his dad nodded and half smiled. How far is Manchester?" "Oh, it's only about 40-odd miles, Gran. I'll come back most weekends." "What are you doing at university again?" "I'm studying history and English." "Well, you take care." Lou turned to face her only living relative and laughed. "I'm quite capable of looking after myself." "I know you are, dear. Come here, give me a cuddle." The two embraced and Lou spoke softly. "There's one thing I miss, though." What's that, dear?" "Wearing shoes." Her gran pulled her in tight. "I'm sorry, dear. We can't help that. It's part of the spell. If you wear any type of footwear, you know you'll be taken back. Back to the very torture you escaped. Only this time, you won't be able to escape. And you'll take me back with you." I know, Gran, I'm sorry." Lou continued to pack and the old lady sat and watched, smiling. I'm going downstairs, Lou. I've got guests. We're having an afternoon of bridge." "All right, Gran. I'll pop down later and speak to you later." The suitcase was finally packed and Lou lay on her bed, smoking a cigarette. "I Stole Your Love" by Kiss played, and she admired the photo of Dave Green in her hand. As the track came to an end, she put a flame to the picture and tossed it into the ashtray. The seductive young woman smiled, almost letting out a laugh. She opened a drawer and produced another photograph. Caressing it slowly, lips kissed the two men, but they did not respond. She kissed them again, but Mr. Green and son Mark kept the same pose. Lou closed her eyes. Holding the picture close to her chest, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts belted out, "I Love Rock and Roll." Well, I do hope you enjoyed that. Quite a long story there. You bared with it for a good hour there. Normally some of the short stories do take a little... I'll take it a little shorter. I do hope you like it. Let me know what your thoughts are. Tell all your friends about the podcast. And as I always say, if you like what you are listening to, please continue to support and continue to listen to future episodes. And as I always say, take care, keep writing, keep the love, and I will certainly be speaking to you on the next episode. Goodbye for now.